create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew
the right spirit within me. Let me fall upon that rock and mold me as clay
into a vessel of honor, I pray. Oh, create in me a clean heart, O God,
and renew the right spirit within me. Let me fall upon the rock and mold me as clay into a vessel of honor, I pray. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within me. Let me fall on that rock and mold me as clay into a vessel of honor, I pray.
Oh,
create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within me. Rock and mold me as clay.
I've got a hold of something. It's got a hold of me.
It opened up my eyes, and now I can see that the way up is down, down up in it me. So humble my spirit, Lord, have your way in me. I've got a hold of something. It's got a hold of me. Well, it opened up my eyes. Oh, now I can see that the way up is down, down up in it me. Humble my spirit, Lord, and have your way in me.
Well,
I got a hold of something. It's got a hold of me. It opened up my eyes, and now I can see
that the way up is down.
It's got a hold of me. It opened up my eyes.
got a hold of something. It got a hold of me. That's what I'm. It's kind of like electricity. You think you got a hold of it, and it's got a hold of you. You can't let go. It's the sweet Holy Ghost. Precious salvation God. And I'm glad for it. I'm glad to have it. Make you want to do a little dance sometimes. Make you want to shout a little bit sometimes. And I was thinking about Brother Smith. He was talking today. Peace. You're talking a little bit today on your thoughts producing as spirit. And I was thinking that scripture and came to my mind, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I don't want to dwell on the mundane and the negativity. Sometimes I catch myself, you know. The car wouldn't start, tire was low. Wife, she reminded me of the bills that couldn't get paid. That wasn't something she did, she just reminded me of something. And start dwelling on the, and your mind starts going down the gutter. Pretty soon, nothing looks good. Sometimes you have to grab yourself by the bootstraps and pull yourself up, somebody said. The other day, that was happening to me. I had to stop and say, God, I want to praise you. The sky is blue. These trees are pretty green. And I know you've done something for me. I've got a great wife and great children. I've got a great church to go to. I got a good family. Good brothers and sisters. You brought me to a people that believes that the church is going to be restored. We've got so many truths and gold nuggets that I've got in my life. Principles that were put there. I was talking to somebody just the other day, and they was telling me about some people that used to come to church, and they went back into the world away from God, and their life is miserable. I said, wouldn't you like to get them and shake them and just say, look where you went. Look where you were at. You're in a place where you were happy obeying God's ministry, to show you and look at the people that are obeying God's ministry, where they're at. Look at the peace in their life, the happiness that they have. And look where you're at. Look where you've ended up. But you could shake them all day long until they're ready to make that commitment, till their eyes get open to see that, I guess, they reach bottom, rock bottom. Some of them have already passed bottom. Looking up at bottom. So I'll throw you, their lifeline is right here. I'll pull you up. God's ready to pull you out of the pit you're in. All you gotta do is get in the bucket. He'll pull you out of the miry pit. Well, a lot of the messages that we've been hearing have been, first, one thing I want to do is welcome our guest before I all forget. Brother Hammond and his son Joseph, is that right? And Brother Sean Rodriguez, is that right? And his daughter Amelia. I'm glad y'all are here with us tonight, worship with us. Appreciate y'all being here. We want Brother Ham to take his liberty tonight if he feels to. But I was thinking something Brother Smith was talking about last week, and I preach a real good message to myself, you know. I do. You ever get out by yourself, you can really preach a real good one. It's for me. I wasn't thinking about the big crowds I was preaching to. I was thinking about me. And I was thinking about I must decrease. He must increase. And I was thinking, why do I feel like I have to impress everybody? That I've got to show people that I know as much as they do about things, or a little bit about everything. And, oh, I forgot. The dynamic duo from Batesville's here. That's what I call them. Come down. Brother Tyler and Sister Marissa, we're glad y'all come down too. And we know that Sister Hannah really likes you. I call them the dynamic duo. They're the two young people there in Batesville, but they're on fire for God. You know, they could do anything. They could spend their Sunday evenings just fiddling around. They drive, is it 2 hours from Batesville to get here just to come to church on a Sunday night? And I am appreciative of that. That gives me, that does something for me to see young folks for God that want to get a little more something, and to be with other young people who are serving God, and because when I was young, I was the only one. I was it. But anyway, I was thinking about, there's something within me that, you know, wants to have this people to look at me like I'm, I guess there's something else. I don't even realize it. But I thought about it, I thought, I'm not in this alone. Some of the people I have trouble with in my spirit, Brother Smith was talking about, you know, you have trouble with somebody, have the same problem I do. Have that same problem of pride. That's what it is, all it amounts to. We don't have to use the word pride and still be proud. And God resisteth the proud, he says in 1 Peter 5. And he giveth grace unto the humble. We must be clothed in humility. We talk about putting on charity. Well, the only way we can put on charity is we got to be put on humility. Clothe ourselves in humility. I'm glad I've got a patient God. I'm glad that he has opened my eyes. Now I see my problem. The first thing you do when you see your problem, though, is you want to beat up yourself. You know, how could I be this way? I've served God all my life, and here I am, full of pride. Well, I had other areas he was working on. We won't get into those right now. Now I'm getting on to my problem. So now I have to think, as a man thinketh of his heart, so is he. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It's going to show when I'm letting you know how much I know about something. All I'm doing is revealing the pride in my life. Lord, it's going to take a work. I'm a work in progress, and I thank you for it. I know he sees me as my potential. These little kids used to sing that song, I am. am a possibility. I am a promise. With a capital P. I'm a great big bundle of potentiality. Well, you know, a lump of clay looks like a lump of clay to me. I'm not an artiste. I've been working with Brother Gene, and I've worked with Brother Mark before. And they're looking at something, and they start lining things out, and I have no idea what they're doing. I don't have any idea what you're about to do. But they've got it in their mind how they're carpenters, and they have this idea how they're going to build something. So they're lining up these boards, and they start cutting it. And not until they start putting it together do I have a clue what they're doing. Sometimes the Lord's cutting on me. I don't know what he's doing. What are you doing, Lord? Why'd you cut me off there? Why'd you cut that board off right there? Why are you using a 2x6? What do you need that for? Why are you doing this? Well, starts putting things together, and I look and see that. So I'm building something in you, son. Glad I have a heavenly father. He's not, you know, men in this world. They want to fashion their children out of something they want them, some image to make them look better. You know, they want their son to daughter to go to the most prestigious school, be the most prestigious athlete, have the most prestigious job, not because they want them to look good, and some fathers, and not because they just want them to do good, but they want them to look at them out of pride. See, so look at my son. He is, you know, he is got a full ride scholar for the Arkansas Razorbacks to play offensive tackle for him. My son, the one I produced, is doing that. Or my son is now a doctor. You know, my daughter, he is the head of the surgery department. Chief surgeon at Baptist. My son is that. We put him through school. But Jesus. But God our Father, He is, everything He's doing is for our benefit. He knows we can't be complete until we become like Jesus. To be, and the whole world, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth for the manifestations of the sons of God. He does want to raise us up for the world to see, but he wants to save the world. Save it from ourselves. We're the ones producing all the havoc. You can blame whoever you want to blame. But when it comes down to it, Adam's the one who fell. And it's his descendants. Over in the Middle East, they're fighting over who the descendants of Abraham, who are God's chosen, are. But it's all the descendants of Adam who got us in this mess. And that's who we all are. I thank God that He has a plan of salvation. He saved me. I will say that through faith, that God has saved me. He filled me with His Spirit. And He's doing a work in me. To make me in His likeness. To make me in His image. For me. He did it for me. He's doing it for me, and He's doing it for you. Again, we're in this together. But you know, again, talking to somebody who was struggling a little bit, and they were talking to me and sharing with me their struggles, and and that's good. The Bible says confess your faults one to another. And because within our weakness, when we see, that's humility. When you share each other's weakness, it's humility. If I'm always just telling you how great things are, and I believe we ought to have a positive word or not, but I'm just saying when we admit our weaknesses, we can, that way we can encourage one another. Because what happens if you don't sometimes admit them, you'll just turn to the arm of flesh to try to get some satisfaction, to try to get some completeness. And I don't want to turn to the arm of flesh. I've done that. I've had my vices. Gave myself over to something that was fun. You know, I gotta have some fun. There ain't nothing wrong with having fun, but when you're doing it to escape your problems, do escape what God's dealing with you in, then that thing that you're can turn into a hell. It really can. I was thinking about, I don't know if I can even go here on this, if I can get my thought on it. I was driving down the road this morning, I was thinking about I used to be a big sports nut. I mean, I'd listen to a ball game on the way to church and turn it on when I got out in the car. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. It didn't matter if it was college-based basketball, NBA, college football, NFL. I liked all of it. The Cardinals, the Royals, the Texas Rangers. I even would tune into the Texas Rangers from Missouri in the summertime. You know, you'd get that at night. You get that WBAP 820, the superstation in there. Throw out 100,000 watts or whatever it was. Well, I've gotten older. I used to watch ESPN. Cindy goes, you got to watch the pregame, the game, the post game, and the ESPN highlights of the game you just watched. That's eat up. Now, I'm not going to be here and tell you I overcame sports. I think I just got disinterested and grew up. But I did have found, but I do believe this, that I did find that it was not satisfying, that's that missing part in my soul. Some of it, I got a little closer to God and didn't need it as much, I don't know. But I don't believe that because I got older and got disinterested, I overcame. But I did get to a place in God, though. See, I didn't set off to overcome sports. Too much flesh. No, I became a little more so. God dealt with me. I started maturing more in God, and it took less and less away from me. You know, there's things that come on TV. I'm gonna get off the part that I was having trouble with. I'm gonna give you a little bit of testimony. Something I have overcame. Something would come on TV, and TV is the biggest time waster that there is. And I've been working on myself tremendously to get that out of my life and not fill it up with something else, because that's what a lot of people do. Is, well, I don't want TV, they do something else. They got their hobby or whatever. They'll spend time in the garage working on a car. They're do this, that, or other. It doesn't matter what it is. Whatever wastes your time. And but I'd watch something. After I watch it, it'd make me feel dirty. Boy, I felt dirty. Just, you know, just like, just a little, you know, just a little grimy spiritually. You ever got a little grimy spiritually? I said, man, I just kind of feel yucky after that. So I started making note of those types of things. Certain words that come into it that are, if they're in a movie, that word's in there, I'm shutting that off. I ain't gonna watch that. I don't want to feel dirty. I don't want to feel grimy. And I did that, and I started, and you know what? I overcome some of that. I'm glad I overcome some of that. Feel a little better. Feel a little better. That I didn't taint myself. Give over to this old man. Because you know, I was telling this person I was having trouble. When I get into my vices, into the flesh, I'd almost run its course. Till I got so sick of it. It's like quail. Bible said it. It was running out my nose. There's another story in the Bible of the manna. God fed his children manna coming out of the wilderness. That's what they did. Every day they picked up manna. But the Israelites started mumbling and complaining. Give us meat. We got to have some meat. Would to God we's back in Egypt. At least we'd have something besides this manna. So God sent some quail in. And they ate quail till it run out their nostrils. Have you ever vomited till it came out your nostrils? That's in the Bible, so I'm just going to say it. Dad had a fuel pump go out on his truck. He said, siphon that gas out of that gas tank, because we had drunk gas. If you ain't never swallowed gas, so I got a big swallower of gas. It came right back up through my nose. If you ever swallow gas, you'll take, every time you belch, you'll taste gas for about 2 months. It seemed like it was that long anyway. Yeah, it was one of them deals. I thought I was going to die at the time. They had quail running out the nose. And that's what you turn to a vice. Something in the flesh. It doesn't matter what it is. You're going to start listening to country music all the time. Yeah. Or whatever your favorite type of music is. Big band or jazz or whatever it is. Brother Smith said he pulled over and got him a pack of smokes.
Long time ago.
Well, we're here. That was a long time ago. He started struggling in the Lord when he was a young Christian and pulled over and got him a pack of smokes. Or if it's me, you can let it run its course till you look at whatever it is that you're saying, I'm so sick of this. This ain't brought me no peace, no happiness. I turned to the flesh and this is what's got me? Nothing. I'm more miserable now than when I started. God said, I've been right here. I don't know why you turned to that. I've been trying to help you this whole time. I could give you that thing that satisfies if you'll trust me. If you ask me, I'll give it to you. Well, when the Lord reveals, sometimes the Lord reveals to you, he's been revealing to me, I've got too much pride. Lord, I don't want to run. I don't want to find a new vice. To take the attention off of what you're showing me onto something else. You know, that's what kids will do. When you start dealing especially when you start dealing with an older kid. Little kids is like, it's a little different. When you get one gets about 14, that's my youngest age. And you start dealing with them, sometimes they try to turn around what you're dealing with them about. Make it about you instead of about them. Wait a minute. This ain't about me. This is about you. Sometimes you want to do that with God. Well, God, this ain't, we're not going to make this about me. We're going to make this about something else. I got to turn to over here. Focus on this. I've got this thing I'm wanting to do. He's an awesome, merciful God. A heavenly Father that we can go to. He won't give us a serpent when we ask Him for a fish. He won't give us a stone when we ask Him for bread. He wants to give us good things. He'll give us natural things. He'll give us raiment. He'll give us food. But He wants to give us those spiritual things to help us, to make us like Him, conformed into His image of His dear Son. I'm glad to be here tonight. I'm glad to be with all y'all. Wouldn't be no other place on a Sunday or a Wednesday than the house of God. My wife has got her a job. She told him, so I can't work on Sunday. It's at the Cracker Barrel up here on Jack Shuffle. She goes, that's my job. I'm there all day. So that's my other job. That's the only day they require me to work all day, Sunday. I'm glad you're on the job, and I'm on the job, and we're all on this job together. I'm glad y'all all punched in today. Not on the clock. We never do punch out, though, do we? We're always on the clock. Hallelujah. It's good to be here with y'all.
Church, say amen. I say amen again. The Bible said the redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. When the truth is being told, you ought to say something. You ought to be able to come in agreement with it. Yes, the truth is being told. Even if it's convicting, you say ouch, but say amen. The truth is being told. I want to thank Brother Smith. Confession is good for the soul. Even the world knew that. They would tell an alcoholic, you need to confess that you're an alcoholic. A drug addict, they tell you to confess it. They got it out the word of God. Until you confront your faults, that is pride, and you'll never get rid of it. This is where your life will stop. I don't care how further you think you get in life, you're actually just sidestepping. You never get any further. And the God wants us, our God is a God of progression. That's why the scripture said we go from faith to faith to glory to glory. Every level of challenge, every level of trial, every level of temptation, if we stand in the character of a Christian, in the integrity of our Lord, He said this little suffering is not to be compared to the glory of God that shall be revealed. Brother, I just admonish you to continue to confess your faults and continue to hang on. Give honor to God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To your pastor, I thank God for him for being so open and allowed to share his pulpit and to my brothers in the gospel. It is once again a pleasure to greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Good to see your smiling face and to be encouraged. We have a lot to be thankful for. The Bible said, He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He said, give thanks for everything with prayer and supplication, knowing that you have the victory. It's easy to celebrate when you know you have the victory. No matter what comes up against it, the Lord said, we have the victory. And we can put Him to the test. He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Try me and know that I'm God. He said this. Now, I understand. Us to try Him. Now, if He stopped doing what He said He's going to do, then we have all rights to walk away. If He don't fulfill His promise, we have all rights to walk away. But if He keep fulfilling His promise, we have no excuse to continue to praise Him and worship Him, give Him the glory and give Him the honor. Only time I fail is when I didn't do what He told me to do. That's the only time I fail. And there's been some times I didn't do what He told me to do, so there's been some failures in my life. But you know what He tell me? He said, okay, Calvin, you messed up. I didn't tell you to do that. I didn't tell you to go that way. So I get myself up again. and I go ask them what I should have did the first time and get back in line. When a train derails, they come with all the equipment and pick the train back up, put it back on the track. They make the necessary repairs and put it back on track, and it starts to head back to its destination. We make some mistakes in our lives, but that don't validate who we are. We are the King's kids. We are the children of the Most High God. We are royalty. And you ought to conduct yourself and carry yourself like that. It don't matter how long you've been in the kingdom. You could have been in it one day. You could have been here 24 years. You are the child of the Most High God. And, you know, he was talking about the sports and everything and the flesh. You know, and I look at some of the greatest athletes and all the money they make and some of the prominent people in the world, yet they're still not happy, committing suicides. You remember the astronaut, the woman, she had to be very smart, but yet she put on a diaper to drive so many miles to California to confront another woman about her husband, the woman's husband. It was her husband, and she went to confront this woman. She had to be all kinds of smart, but with no righteousness, no God. It don't do you any good. All the greatest athletic ability, still with no God, it don't do you any good. I want to just take you to a couple of scriptures that is very, well, it's a lot of scriptures that I love, but one of the things that caught my attention when I read Matthew's early on, I think it's Matthew's chapter 3. And this is Jesus getting ready to come on the scene again. Now he's mentioned in his early childhood. Of course, he's mentioned at birth. And then he's mentioned at his early childhood, where he stops in the temple and consults with the Pharisees and Sadducees. But then later on, he goes back into, well, what we'll say, in seclusion, or go back. You don't hear anything else about Jesus at that time until John points him out and says, here's one whose shoe lash I'm not even worthy of you. And here he is, come to take away the sins of the world. In Matthew chapter 3, starting with verse 13, it says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him." You know, one thing I like about Jesus, he won't tell you to do something that he's not doing himself or hadn't already done. He's a true leader, leads by example. He's my role model. But John forbid him, saying, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and cometh thou to me?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, listen what he said. He said, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Not some, not part, but all righteousness. Getting the pieces, all the pieces together in the puzzle to fulfill all righteousness. So that tells me that the word of God is not like a buffet. I can just pick what I want to do, how I want to live. No, the Bible said, my life I've been bought with a price, and I've given my life unto him. So now he is headship, ruler of my life. So now I got to submit to his will. And he tells me to. So I have something. I now have a new goal, a new aim, a new direction in life. Before I gave my life to him, I was seeking my own will, my own ways, and my own guide, my own directions. But now that I give my life to him, he told me it is becometh of me to fulfill all righteousness. Now, this is Jesus. If anybody could have tiptoed or want to omit it, some righteousness, it seemed like it could have been him. You know, I mean, this is the God's son, the one that came to take away the sins of the world. But he's so wise, he knew if he didn't do this, that people will say, well, Jesus didn't get baptized. Jesus didn't do this. Well, he didn't get baptized. I'm not going to do this. You know, but being in all his wisdom, he said, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. So that gives me something I need to be focused on. I need to be mindful of that God is holding me accountable to be in right standard. Now you say, well, that seems a little hard, maybe, you know, to feel. Well, I don't think the Lord would ask us to do something that was impossible. I just don't think the God we serve would ask us to do something that we could not do. Now, he told the disciples, he said, now, I'll go away, but if I go, I'll send a comforter. It will lead you and guide you into all truth. It will help you. No, I couldn't do it on my own. And in times that I tried to do it on my own, that's when I failed. But in the aid of the Holy Spirit, he tells me all things become possible. I like what he's talking. The pastor was saying, he said, whatever man thinking is hard, so is he. If I believe that I can do all things in Christ Jesus that strengthen me, manifesting my faith, which activate the power of God. My faith, that I believe that I can do all things. The woman who had needed healing for her daughter, and she came to Jesus, and Jesus told her, he told her that I'm not to give bread to the dogs, and she came back and said, well, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table. What a comeback. What, somebody of faith that said they're not going to take no for an answer, that they knew who Jesus is and what he was capable of and would not take no for an answer. You know, when my children, if I promise them something and they come that time, promise them something down the road, and that time comes, they remind me of my promise. Daddy, you said it. You promised. And that's what we are to do to our Father. Remind him of his promise. We need to stand on God's word. And that's what's going to manifest whatever it is that you believe in God for, whatever it is he put in your spirit. Then he said, told us to seek first. These other things shall be added unto you. So I don't even have to worry about these other things. He telling me, if I seek first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness, what is right to do today? What is right to do this hour? You know, what should I be doing, Lord, this hour? I'm seeking you first. Because you already promised you'll take care of my food, my clothing, and shelter. Now, you said that. My son, he don't worry about where he's going to eat. What he's going to eat, he don't worry about. Now, he sometimes concerned, is he going to eat? Where he's going to lay his head? Or the roof that's over his head? That's not his concern. Wise into the kingdom. Lord, I put this in your hand. Yeah, I have a bill due, and I didn't go out of your will to create this bill. So I put this on the altar, and I just trust you that you're going to supply me the money to pay for it. Because you promised me that you'll supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. In this world, they're talking about they having shortage, but God, in God's kingdom, there is no shortage. There is no kingdom. That way we won't get caught up in the fear of this world. We stay kingdom minded, what he promised me. He said, we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We're the head, not the tail. We're above and not beneath. And in Philippians 4:8, he says, whatever thing is pure, whatever thing is right, he tells us to think on these things. That we don't give place to the devil. When we started thinking of fear, when we started thinking of lack, when we started thinking of inadequate, we opened the door for Satan, a playground for Satan to play on in our minds. And then we started second guessing that we can do God's will and God's work. But then we put, in essence, we put Satan above God instead of God above Satan. So I just admonish you, if you're seeking God for something. Seek him first, the kingdom of heaven. Seek his will. Young people, middle-aged people, old people, whatever. Caleb was 100 when he got the mountain. He never forgot the promise that God gave, told him. Never forgot. Never forgot the promise that God promised him. And because of that, just, can you imagine 40 years and had to deal with the children of Israel being rebellious and God don't promise you something, but they kind of holding up the promise because they won't do what God says. But Caleb and Joshua kept the promise fresh in their minds. And sometimes God is preparing you before your blessing because he's telling you, look, he told the children of Israel while they was in the wilderness, if you go over there and mingle with those folks, they'll cause your heart to turn. But if you develop your relationship with me, you know, a marriage ought to stay, they ought to stay to themselves for a year before they kind of mingle too much back into the world, that they can get to learn each other. And that wilderness experience was for the children of Israel to get out of that bondage mentality, to develop a relationship with God. That they didn't, when they got over to the land of plenty, they wouldn't get confused of where it came from and who blessed them. They always give God the glory. So in that molding process, and he's always molding, shaping us to make us better, because like I said, the scripture said we're going from faith to faith to glory to glory. So God is always, salvation is general, but yet it is specific. He saves us as a whole generally, but now he's working on certain areas of our lives that he's saving us from. Because it's no way in the world that you come in the body of Christ and you understand this whole word and understand all the requirements. So that's why he tells us to study, to show ourselves approved, a workman unto God, need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He said, take my yoke up on me and learn of me. We need to learn his ways. The psalmist said, that I may learn your ways. We learn his ways. And then we started emulating our Father. We learn God. And we started mimicking him. And that's when people can see it's something different about you. It's something different about you. And you can do it. Yes, he wants us to take him for his word, live his word, breathe his word, eat his word. He told him to eat my flesh. That messed some of them up, but they didn't understand. But the disciples, his true disciples, they hung in there. And they got the revelation. God wants us to eat his word. Then he said, his word, they are spirit and they are life. If your life is missing something, eat some more of his word. If the void seems to be coming back, eat some more of his word. Spend some time, a little more time with him. Develop your place of quiet time in your home. This is a place, this is like, I think it's called Peniel, when Jacob fell on the rock. And the rock changed and the rock represented Jesus. So Jacob anointed the rock, built an altar there because he heard from God. This is your place where you hear from God, but you ought to have a place at your house, a quiet time, a place where you can hear from God to get your instructions for the day. He said, give me this day our daily bread. That's what it says. That's what he's talking about. Give me some bread for the day. And he said, if you give me some bread for the day, and it says, lead me not into temptation. The God don't lead, but what it's saying is, if you give me a word for today, when temptation comes, I won't be led into it. But without no word, I don't have no shield. And when temptation comes, I'm drawn right on into it. Because I don't have a shield. Putting on the whole armor of God, getting more word, that you'll be available to do more work for the kingdom of God. And when you're doing the work, God's going to supply your needs. Amen. God bless you.
we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hold on, getting stronger every day. No mere reason for you to go astray. Don't be leaning on your understanding. You don't have to worry anymore. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hold on, getting stronger every day. No reason for you to go astray. Don't be leaving on your understanding. You don't have to worry anymore. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers. On, we're getting stronger every day. There's no reason for you to go astray. Don't be leaning on your understanding. You don't have to worry anyway.
Don't let it get you down. You don't have
have to worry anymore. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. When trouble afraid, you know it's not like before. Don't go leaning, don't let it bring you down. You don't have to worry anymore. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life.
Scriptures, Revelation's second chapter. Appreciate Brother Hammond's words and his fellowship. We want to pray for his work in the Lord, and that God would bless him with souls and help him with his in his ministry. And I hope this assembly can be a strength to you in some way, Brother Hammond. I believe God's people, especially his ministers, need to be in unity in these last days and work together and labor and lend strength to one another. I was just thinking about these promises to overcomers. Thought I'd just read them. The first one is in the seventh verse of chapter 2. And here's the thing. These seven churches in the book of Revelation that God had gave Jesus a revelation, and Jesus sent his angel to show it to his servant John. And then John, he gave these things, according to the first chapter, the things that must shortly come to pass. If you look in the first chapter and the very first verse, which God gave to him, Jesus, to show him unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. He sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. The third verse said, blessed is he that readeth, and they that heareth the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. In the first three chapters here, he's talking to the seven churches. These are Gentile works, and after AD 70 and Jerusalem's been destroyed, and God has reaped a harvest and made up part of the bride in the early church. And now there are the Gentile churches are left with their embracing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And of course, they were embracing it on a much lower scale, a level of understanding than the Jews were. And so he was leaving these churches while he was seeing that the rich truths and understanding of the truths was rapidly waning, and the church was headed into a dark age state. But Jesus was telling these seven churches and edifying them and encouraging them to hold on to all that they had. And he ended his letter to each church. Here in verse 7b, it says, "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Now, paradise isn't heaven. Adam and Eve was in paradise. That represents a divine order of God that the New Testament church had, but it was waning. And the condition of paradise, or a divine order of God, was losing out and would no longer be there until there's a restored church way down here. But he still held out a hope. I think you and I are to say, we are to be praying. You young people, start asking God to say, "God, let me eat of the tree which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Only you can take us there. Only you can restore that. Only you. But he gave these this hope. He extended then in verse 11, talking to the church of Smyrna, he said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." I think you young people are to be asking God, "Let me hear." Not just you young people, but it just seems like to me God's talking to young people right now. And you are to be saying, "God, let me hear." There's a blessing to those that hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. "Let me hear. God, give me ears to hear." Spiritual things. "You can touch me, Lord. You can touch my mind." That's not just this ear, but that's this ear. The heart, my understanding, touch my mind. Let me grasp it.